Let's open our Bibles to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3, and I'm going to begin reading here in a moment in verse 14. So 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14. Now, I'll stall a little bit so these guys can get the sheet out to you. And I think you understand the context of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy is one of the pastoral epistles. In other words, it's a letter that was written to a pastor. 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus and Philemon also were written to pastors. And at the time this was penned, this book of 1 Timothy, Timothy was pastoring the church in Ephesus. If you remember, in Paul's second missionary journey in Acts chapter 16, when he revisited the churches that he had planted on his first missionary journey of Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe, he went back to the place where Timothy was from, and Timothy was a young man, a young disciple, and he asked him to go with him on his missionary trips, and he did. And Timothy was greatly used of God. That would be just a wonderful character series, I think, to do the life of Timothy. And, of course, Paul visited the church at, well, Ephesus, the city of Ephesus, at the end of his second missionary journey, planted the church, went back there on his third missionary journey, and he left this man, young man, Timothy, to be the pastor. And so the book of 1 Timothy is really about the church. If you look at 1 Timothy 3 and verse 1, this is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. He's telling them order in the church. This is what a pastor ought to be. Then in verse 8, likewise must the deacons be great. He's instructing him on the church. And then we pick it up in verse 14. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that, or here's why I'm writing you. This is what this book's about. That thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your goodness. I pray as I preach what I believe you've led me to preach, this topical message on this series, that you'd please help me, Lord. I need a fresh filling of thy spirit. Lord, I truly recognize, and we all recognize, that we need thee. Thank you for your goodness and your love and your grace and mercy to us. And Lord, I pray this evening that your word would go forth with clarity and power. But Lord, that you would do the work in the heart that only you can do. Lord, I can do my best to do my part, and I need thee for that. But you must do the part of working in the heart of your people. So I pray you do that this evening. I do pray if there's someone here tonight, whatever age they are, young or old, upstairs or downstairs, that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, that today would be the day they get saved. What a wonderful day it would be for someone to come to know Christ as Savior. But for the believer, Lord, you'd give us understanding again tonight. Please help me, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. For some time now, we've been dealing with the subject of helps for the home. And the goal of this series is really that very thing. I want to be a help. I want God to help us in our homes. You say, I don't need help in my home. Well, then you really need help in your home, if that's what you think. Because we all do. Amen. Every one of us. And that's what the goal of this series is, to take the Bible, help us understand biblical principles that God has given to us for the home. And not just understand them, but put them into practice. And some of the biblical principles we have looked at include things like this. Getting started right. We talked about getting started right in marriage. We talked about the permanence of marriage. We've dealt with quite extensively, I think, always could have done more, but with biblical masculinity and then biblical femininity. I talked about several weeks ago the most dangerous thing in a Christian home, that being hypocrisy. And then we talked about the very best thing in a Christian home, the very best thing you can do for your children in that Christian home, and that is providing a Christian education, whether it be homeschool or Christian school. And then last week we dealt with the subject of understanding authority, how we need to be different than the world in this idea of authority and have a proper attitude towards the God-ordained authorities in our lives. And tonight I'd like to deal with a familiar subject that many times people fail to connect with the home. They see these two things as completely different entities, if you will, and there's no connection there. And that is the local church. Amen. Tonight I want to preach on this subject. I'm not going to waste any time. By the way, it's a two-point message, and all God's people said, amen. But there's 47 points in between, amen. So sit back and get comfortable, amen. I want to preach on the subject, the place of the local church in the life of your family. Did you get that? The place of the local church in the life of your family. Can I ask you this evening, what place does the local church hold in your family? Where does it rank? How important is it to you? What's your attitude towards it? Amen. Can I say, is it a biblical attitude? Can I ask that?
Amen.
In March of 2014, the Barna Research Group, which is a Christian research organization, they did a survey that asked this question. It was very interesting. They asked the question, what, if anything, helps Americans grow in their faith? They asked people, what is it? What, if anything, helps you grow in your faith? And people offered a variety of answers. Some of the answers were this. One said, or a large group said, prayer. Amen. They said, prayer helps me grow in my faith. Another said family and friends. I don't quite understand that, but I guess so. Family and friends help me grow. Another group said reading the Bible. I get that. Some even said having children. Test your flesh, amen. But you know what was conspicuously missing from the top 10 responses was this response, attending church.
Amen.
They didn't say that. The top 10 answers are, what, if anything, helps you grow in faith? None of the top 10 were church. And I say something's wrong.
Amen.
When very few people believe that attending church helps them grow in their own faith or their family's faith, that's a problem.
Right.
You know, decades ago, church attendance and church involvement was the cornerstone of American life.
Amen.
It absolutely was. For the most part, families attended church. I mean, stores were closed. How many remember that, right? Things were closed. Not anymore. Today they don't. As a matter of fact, 51%, same article, of Americans say that church is either not too important or not at all important. Over half. And as generations progress, the attitude gets worse. Millennials are the least likely to value church attendance. Millennials, of course, being those born between 1981 and 1986. 80% of millennials believe that church is not important at all. 80%. It's not important. And more than one-third of them, 35%, of millennial young adults take an anti-church stance. They don't like it. They are antagonistic towards attending church. Of the millennials who grew up in church, 59% of them are gone. They don't go to church anymore. And those in America that do not attend church, they don't go for the following top two reasons. Number one is they say this, I find God elsewhere. The second reason is this, church is not relevant to me personally. Sad, isn't it?
Amen.
Something's wrong.
But
let's forget about them for a moment. Let's think of ourselves.
Amen.
What is your attitude towards church? What is mine? Is it biblical? Does it line up with the Word of God? Now, we've been talking about the home, but don't miss the fact that there is a vital connection between the spiritual condition of your home and your attitude towards the local church.
Amen.
Can I say that again? There is a vital connection between the spiritual condition of your home, or yourself, if you will, and your attitude towards the local church.
Amen.
And the place that the local church holds in your family and in your life will greatly affect the spiritual results that God produces in your home.
Praise the Lord.
It's very important.
Amen.
Let's talk about that tonight. Let's notice, first of all, number one, if you'd write it down, the provision of the local church. Notice how I put that, the provision. I said that for this reason. I want you to think of it this way. The church is something that God provides for us. It's not something that interferes in our lives. It's not something that gets in the way. It's not something that takes up our time. It is something that God provides for us. You know, there are three institutions God ordained, arguably four. One is a home, Genesis chapter 2. The second, human government, Genesis chapter 9. We could say the nation of Israel, their theocracy in Genesis chapter 12. And then the fourth one, watch this, God has ordained the local New Testament church. Raised up after Israel rejected their Messiah and they have been temporarily set aside, God raised up this institution called the local New Testament church. It is not known in the Old Testament. It is not there. It does not exist. There was no church in the Old Testament. It was a mystery we read in Ephesians chapter 3, yet to be revealed. But it's a New Testament institution. And there was a beginning to the church age with Christ and his disciples. And there will be an end of the church age when the rapture takes place. So understand something very important. The institution of the local church is God's provision for me and you that live in the church age during this dispensation. This is it.
Amen.
This is what he's given us. Notice letter A, write this down if you will. Let's talk about its description. By the way, it's been given to us for our spiritual welfare, for our good. You know why? Because we need it. I need it and you need it. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 16. Some familiar ground here. Perhaps a drum I beat quite often, and I'll probably continue to beat it if you don't mind. But in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, we'll read this in a moment, but the word church is found in 114 verses of the Bible. All in the New Testament. Notice Matthew 16, verse 18. First occurrence of it. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Last mention in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 16 comes from the Greek word ekklesia, which means this, a called out assembly. But notice Christ calls it here in Matthew 16 and verse 18, my church.
Amen.
It is not just any old called out assembly. It's not just any old group of a people. It is Christ's called out assembly. It is the assembly or the assemblies, plural, that belong to him.
Amen.
Those that have been saved and baptized and formed a church.
Amen.
So often we say around here, the local church can be defined as this, and I'm going to give you the extended version. It's an organized local assembly of baptized believers who have voluntarily joined themselves to carry out their Great Commission and to observe the ordinances. That's what a local church is. It is an organized local assembly with a pastor and deacons, if necessary, of baptized believers, people that have been saved and scripturally baptized, believers only, immersion only, that's the correct scriptural baptism. And they voluntarily, no one forced us, to join ourselves together with the purpose of carrying out the Great Commission. And as it applies to our subject tonight, the local church is made up of both individual believers that have been scripturally baptized and follow that definition, but also entire families that have been saved and scripturally baptized and added to the church. Really, we are family units, if you will, whether you be a single person that represents a family or multiple people. We're family units joined together. And it's interesting because we find saved families referred to many times throughout the New Testament. Let me just give you a few examples. Turn with me to Acts chapter 11. I won't read the whole thing, but I think you know this context. Peter is recounting his visit to Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. And we read in Acts chapter 11 in verse 13, and he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. And as he began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them. Who's that? His house. As on us at the beginning. That must have been a great day. Amen. The entire household got saved. Cornelius, Mrs. Cornelius, little baby Cornelius, or grown up enough to know, understand salvation. But imagine they all got saved at that day and baptized and added to the church, formulated a church. That's amazing. Look at Acts chapter 16 and verse 12. We find another family, a woman by the name of Lydia and her household. Paul comes into Philippi here in Acts chapter 16. It's his second missionary journey. And we read in a certain verse 14, a certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. What's amazing about this is Paul witnessed to her and her household. Her whole family got saved. Her whole house got saved. And if you study it out, you find they started a church in her house. Families all saved. It's amazing. Look at Acts 16 and verse 33. Verse 30. A wonderful, fruitful time in Philippi, by the way, when we see the Philippian jailer. And brought them out in verse 30 and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? The Philippian jailer talking to Paul and Silas. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them, those in his house, the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. It's amazing. Romans 16:11 talks about saluting the household of Narcissus, a family that was saved. 1 Corinthians 1:16, the household of Stephanas is mentioned. 2 Timothy 4:19, the household of Onesiphorus. I believe it's God's desire for, yes, individual, but also entire families to be saved, baptized, members of a New Testament church, worshiping together and serving the Lord together. Does that describe you? That's its description. That's what the New Testament church is. It's an organized body of baptized believers voluntarily join themselves together to carry out the Great Commission and observe the ordinances. So we see the description. Notice letter B, write this down. The church is distinction. It's distinction. It's different. Amen. You say, preacher, I know we are a little different. I'm not talking about that way. I'm talking about a different way. Why is being a part of a local New Testament church so important? Why is, and I'm going to say more about this in a little bit, being faithful to the house of God as a family so important? Here's why. Mark it down. Because you cannot get from anywhere else the things that you get from the local church. Nowhere else. Nowhere. That's very important. You can't get it at home. You can't get it online. Amen. Amazon doesn't have it. You can't Google it and get it. You can't get it at a store. You can't get it at a school. You can't even get it at a Bible college. You can only get the things I'm going to mention at a local New Testament church. That's it. Amen. And I'm going to show you the three things I'm talking about tonight. And by the way, these things, you can get all of them concurrently. You may say, well, I can get that one thing somewhere else, but not all of these things. You can only get all of these three things I'm going to mention in the local church. That's why it's so important for you and your family to be here.
Amen.
What are they? Well, number one, notice the unique message of the church.
Amen.
The church has a unique message. Turn with me, if you will, back to our starting point. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. Notice the Bible says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. Notice this phrase, a pillar and ground of the truth. The Bible describes the local assembly as the pillar and the ground of the truth for the believer.
Amen.
Now, what does that mean? Well, the pillar is the support system of a structure. It holds things up. We know, if we remember Samson and the story where he took the pillars down, what happened? The whole place fell. So the local church, understand what that means. It is the support system for you and your family.
Amen.
It is also the ground of truth. That is the foundation. It is, it holds, the local church holds the foundation for what we believe. And so the local church is a place where you will hear the word of God, the truth of God's word, systematically, faithfully preached, faithfully taught, line upon line, and precept upon precept. It is a place where God feeds your family and you as a whole. It's a place where he is feeding the entire church family distinctively. So we see it has a unique message, a unique message of the church. There's a second thing as well. I want you to notice the unique messengers of the church. Now watch this. Notice what God provides. Go over to Ephesians chapter 4, if you would, please. Ephesians chapter 4. You say, well, I can read the Bible to my kids and we'll get what we need. Not in the same way. Not in the same way. Because it takes all three of these. Notice the unique messengers. Ephesians chapter 4, notice in verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Look at verse 8. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, notice, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Ooh, I like gifts.
Amen.
God gives us gifts. You. This is about the church. Ephesians is the same topic as 1 Timothy. The theme is the local church. He gave us gifts. What are they? Well, after the parenthetical in verses 9 and 10, here's what it is. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Mind what I'm saying here tonight. God has divinely called and divinely equipped men to minister specifically in his churches. That's unique. So unique messengers. Preachers, evangelists, pastors, teachers, these are what I refer to as people gifts. It's not the spiritual gifts of Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12, but these are people that God places in his churches, that God raises up, he equips them, and he places them there. Why? To minister to his people in the local church. Many's ordained to faithfully deliver God's message to you and your family. We're supposed to feed the flock of God.
Amen.
Men that he has placed to watch over you and your family. We're supposed to take the oversight of it. Men that will faithfully pray for you. Men that will faithfully counsel you. Correct you if necessary. Encourage you if needed. Visit you when you are sick. Help in times of needs. Weddings and funerals and tragedies.
Praise the Lord.
God's given gifts to the church for that reason. You see, God did not design for me and you to do those things alone.
Right.
He's given to us a church.
Amen.
And a pastor. Unique messengers. That's why it's important. So we see again the unique message of the church, and then we see the unique messengers of the church. And then number three, let's talk about the unique membership of the church. Why is again, we're talking about this provision, what God gave us. We described it, and we're seeing it's different than anywhere else. It's distinct because of its message. It's distinct because of its messengers. Then it's distinct because of its membership. Go to 1 Corinthians 12 if I didn't say that. If I did, well, you heard it twice. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Notice in verse 12. For as a body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Now he goes on to talk about the Spirit. We're baptized into one body. Understand that every local church is described as a body. It's kind of illustrated as a human body, if you will. And Christ is the head. Amen. The pastor is the under-shepherd, right? And we're all parts of this body, and we work together. We function together as a church. It's different than anything anywhere else. What links us together, just like every body part I have, is linked together by one thing. You know what it is? Blood. Amen. I cut the blood. It's not going to be a body part very long. It's going to fall off and rot. Guess what? We're linked by blood. We're linked by the blood of Jesus Christ, amen? The one who died for our sins. That's what brings us together. It is the blood of Jesus Christ and our relationship to him as a church. Again, saved, baptized, added to the church. That's what we are. It's our membership. Notice a little bit after he describes how we're all different in chapter 12. I want to show you a couple of things in verse 25 of chapter 12. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another.
Amen.
And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it.
Amen.
Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice in it. As I said, the local church here is described as a body, meaning we are a living organism. We are part of one another's lives. And understand, one of the things that God has designed the local church for is for you and I to help and encourage one another.
Amen.
That's what we're supposed to do. Hebrews 10:25, we'll go there a little bit later, but it talks about not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. I'll deal with that in a few moments here. But it goes on at the end of the verse to say, but exhorting one another.
Amen.
That means one of the things that this local church is about is we're supposed to help and encourage each other. Pray for one another. All of those things. And by the way, that is unique. Our relationship is unlike anything else.
Right.
It is a unique membership. And by the way, this is something that you cannot get online.
Praise the Lord.
You can't get it through a sermon CD.
Right.
You can't get that watching religious programs on television. You can't get this relationship from talk radio.
Amen.
You just get frustrated. By the way, you won't find Joel Osteen or Charles Stanley or Joyce Meyer or Franklin Graham or T.D. Jakes showing up to visit you in the hospital. They ain't coming. They're not going to show up to pray for you unless you send them a big check. Then they might send you a note from one of their secretaries or something. You won't find them weeping by your side when you're going through a tragedy in your life or in your family. You can only get that through the local church.
Amen.
That's the only place.
Right.
You can only get that from a pastor or a deacon or a staff member or a loving church member that cares for you. That's where you're going to get it. Do we understand the importance of what's happening tonight in this meeting? That you're here, you're getting something that no one else can get any other way. I mean, think about that for a moment. This, the local church, is designed so that you and I can show our love to one another.
Amen.
So that you and I can care for one another. We can pray for one another. Hey, we're on the same team, amen?
Praise.
We are in this battle together. We laugh together. We cry together. We struggle together. We pray together. We need one another. And God has given us one another.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, it's so important. What we have here, this so important for your family.
Amen.
So we see, first of all, again, notice its description in our subpoints here. Letter B, its distinction. It has a unique message. It has unique messengers, and it has a unique membership. And then letter C, God's demand for the local church, concerning the church. What is his demand? He says, don't forsake it. well, nobody's going to miss me. That's not true. Not only are people going to miss you, but you're going to miss an opportunity to be a blessing to others. See, so often we come to church thinking, what feed me? Give me attention. Give me. Why don't we flip that around and say this? How can I be a blessing to somebody tonight? Let me see who seems a little down so I can, you know, say hi to them or pray for them. And don't flip that around and say, why'd they do that to me? Flip it around. Be a friend like we talked about Sunday night. But all that we're talking about, this unique message, all of that happens when we're here. That's why God said, hey, it's so important, this gathering together of the church. And you say, well, they don't say anything about Wednesday night. Yeah, you know what they say in the book of Acts? They met every day. Well, let's try that then, if we want to be the true biblical model. I'll see you tomorrow night here at 7, all right?
Amen.
I'm just saying. If we think it's important enough to schedule a meeting, then it's important enough to be at that meeting. This is our prayer meeting.
Praise the Lord.
I can't think of a more important service.
Hallelujah.
We can sit by somebody and pray with them. I can hear your heart. You can hear my heart. We can get the heart of all our missionaries and problems people are going through. Man, and we can just, you know what that does to us? It just gels us together. You know, we think about Matt and Nikki Brown. We care for them now. They're an extension of our ministry. I know they're not a member here, but I'm just saying, we think about the surgeries coming up. We're praying for these folks.
Amen.
We care for them. And this is so important to the spiritual life of your family, the local New Testament church, because it strengthens you. It builds you up. It reinforces what's being taught at home. Or should I say what should be being taught at home? I remember sitting at times in church, and I thought, praise the Lord, he's preaching on that. Boy, we just dealt with that in the house. I'm glad my kids aren't going to look at me and say, well, he's the only weirdo around here. At least the preacher was a weirdo too, amen. But it reinforced that, yes, see, that's true. What I'm saying, it's not just me. It's the truth from the Word of God. And that only happens as you come and be a part of the local New Testament church.
Amen.
It's designed to protect you from false doctrine. It gives you what no other place on earth can give you.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
God help us.
Amen.
You know, the strongest Christians you're going to find are those that faithfully attend all the services. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And special services. Dr. Lee Robinson said it. I repeat it quite often. Three to thrive. Three to thrive. I'll do more on that in a little bit. Don't worry. I'm coming back to that. But you may say, well, I don't need anybody. I have the Lord. Fine. Be that way. See how your life is. See how you make out with all that. Because your wall's going to come crashing down one day. And you're going to be calling somebody, I need prayer, I need help with somebody. I wish somebody would encourage me. You do. You're missing out on the one earthly thing that God has given to us to help us.
Amen. That's right.
The local New Testament church. So, you see, again, it's what God has provided. You cannot be what the Lord wants you to be without it. So we see number one, that's point number one. I told you it was a big one there. The provision of the local church, its description, its distinction, it's different. How is it different? Unique message, unique messengers, unique membership, God's demand concerning the church. Be here, don't forsake the assembly. And then number two, and finally, notice the priority of the local church. Okay, so I laid a little bit of a case out. I probably could have done a little bit more on that, but I think I laid enough of a case out to ask you this. What is your attitude towards the local church? I can't wait till it's done. It's not a good attitude.
That's right.
Oh, gotta go. Wednesday night again. Back in church. He's preaching long again. Here he goes. Do you know a family's attitude? By the way, parent, your attitude towards the church is seen in your children. It will. It is. They say the same things you do. They act the same way you do. And a family's attitude towards the local church will determine their spiritual well-being.
Amen.
You want to have a strong child and a strong family? Be here.
Amen.
Be here. All right, three important attitudes we must have. Letter A, write this down. Number one, or letter A, however you put it. Be fond of the local church.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Be fond of it. You know, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25 says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Do you understand something? Christ loves what's happening right here, right now.
Thank you, Jesus.
He loves this. He loves the local church. and he gave himself for it. Don't you think we ought to love what he loves?
Amen.
He loves souls. We should love souls. He loves the lost. We should love the lost. Amen. And he loves the church. We should love the church. By the way, I believe he loves preaching too. He did a lot of it. We should love preaching also. By the way, you should not only love the church, but teach your children to love the church.
Amen.
Teach them to love the church. And by the way, that won't happen if you're critical about everything. You may have the smile here tonight and then go home and just unload at home about who said this, who did this, and the preacher did this, or someone did this, and the staff member did this, and the school is this, and the school is that, and the institute is this, and the institute's that. That's going to be infectious. Yep. And you're going to develop in your children a chip on their shoulder about the church. Listen, there's bad in everything, but last time I read my Bible, it told me to, if there's anything good, to think on these things. That's what I think Philippians 4:8 says. And God's people should love God's people.
Amen.
We should. I do, well, most of them. The ones I don't, I make sure I send the other side of the auditorium to them, and I strategically maneuver myself during the handshake time that they're in the opposite side that I am. No, we're supposed to love everybody.
Amen.
Hey, by the way, everybody has faults.
Right.
You may not think you do, but you do. I know I don't. I do. My wife doesn't. I do. I'm going home with her anyway. But we do, you know. We all have our idiosyncrasies, right? We all have things that bother people. Well, I don't bother anyone. Yeah. Yes, you do. Yeah, you just don't realize it. We all do. You know, it's just a way. And so we should love each other, though. Listen to this, 1 John 3:14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. I'll tell you what, when my wife and I got saved, we got drug out of that mess we were in the world, and we got a chance to come to the church of God with God's people. I'll tell you what, it was like a breath of fresh air 3 times a week. So, man, I love being here. We wanted to be there for everything. I mean, if there was something going on in the church, we wanted to be there, whether it applied to us or not.
Praise the Lord.
Was a teen meeting? Do you need any help, maybe? That's what we did. You know, when it was the ladies' meeting, guess what I did? I helped out with the kids, the ones to watch them. It was the first time I think I worked the nursery in my entire life. And the last time, amen. I'm no dummy. I did my time, amen. Oh, I shouldn't have said it that way. Sorry, but anyway. We loved it.
Amen.
They weren't perfect people. I'll tell you what, I'd much rather be with you guys.
Amen.
Than would out there in the world. 1 John 3:16, hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Again, love what Christ loves. Teach your children to love the church. Teach your children to love the man of God. Teach your children to respect the man of God. Teach your children to love the deacons and the staff and love the church members.
Amen.
You know, it should be hard for us to leave after the service right away. I understand sometimes you have things you got to go to. I understand that. I'm not saying that. But some people make it a habit of just zipping in late and getting out of here as soon as possible. I don't know why. Don't you like us? We like you. Amen. Be fond of the church. The number two is this. Be faithful to the church. Be faithful, number one, if you would, write this down, to its services. Can I park here for a minute? I got a few minutes here. Can I park just for a moment? Attending church should be a non-negotiable for your family.
Amen. Right.
Listen to me. Attending church should be, it's not a discussion.
Amen.
It's not unless something else better comes up.
Right.
It should be non-negotiable. We go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Church services should be one of the most important things in the world to you.
Amen.
It should be. You know, I'm surprised that in many people's lives it's not. I don't get it. I don't. I don't get why people miss church for the smallest of reasons. I had a little hay fever. Maybe I should have called in tonight or something. Stop for a moment. Consider the excuses you use for missing church and what that does to your children when they know that. Think about it. Think of what you're doing. When you, the excuses you use display the attitude you have towards God's house. It tells them where it fits. God's house fits on the ladder of priority by what excuses you use.
Amen.
You know, the attitude you have towards God's house is the attitude you have towards God. I want you to think about this. You know, when Saul got saved, when he was on the road to Damascus, read it sometime. I know you have, but read it again in Acts chapter 9. When the Lord appeared to him on the road to Damascus, remember in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, it said Saul made havoc of the church. He went in hailing people out, dragging them out of the services, right? Taking them to court, if you will, and giving his voice against them. And then when the Lord showed up to him on the road to Damascus, here's what he said. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?
Amen.
Not my people, me. You see, our attitude towards the church, God, Christ's church, is our attitude towards God.
Amen.
Is he important to you? Well, yeah, he's important. The church, well, you know, kind of. Depends on what's going on. Sometimes people miss church because of family events. I don't get it.
Amen.
Sometimes they miss it because the family's visiting. Well, they're in town. Do you know where we're going to be this Sunday when we're away? Take a guess.
Church.
I'm in church.
Amen.
Sunday morning, Sunday night, Sunday school. That's where we're going to be, unless the Lord takes me home or something like that. Right, because something happens, I get in the hospital. But, you know, I'm saying, that's where we're going to be. That's the way it's supposed to be. I'm not.
Amen.
That's normal Christianity.
Praise the Lord.
You go to church.
Amen.
Guess we're going to be Wednesday. Guess. Take us all together now. Right. Yes. Hey, you're wasting a whole day. You're down there. You can be on the boardwalk and enjoying the time. Your family's together. 10 grandchildren. You're going to go to church.
Yep.
Yeah. That's what we do.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Well, that's the problem. Sports. Well, you got practice tonight. Practice. That's going to help. Newsflash. I doubt he's going to make it pro. I doubt it. Well, he made a three-pointer against Milford. Oh, he did. Yeah, let's go get the girls' Dover basketball team over here and see how well you guys do. Be embarrassing. Church is more important.
Amen.
Church is more important. Work. Can I? I'm gonna. I got a couple minutes. I know it hurts. I know it hurts. Some people travel on church days. Well, the fare's cheaper. You know what? Honestly, most of the times I check, it is. I've checked out. I could travel on Sunday and get $50 off each. That's $100. But I miss church. Oh, God, bless me as I save $100 and miss your house. You understand. You know, it's money, Lord. It's money. Why do you do that? You're only hurting yourself.
Amen.
But some people have this little ache. Sick again. And then Monday morning, you're out shopping at Walmart. Like nothing. Hey, how you doing? Missed you yesterday. Well, you know, I wasn't feeling good. You know, here's how I looked at it. I worked in the world, and I was saved for a time before I got in the ministry. I know what it's like. And I worked odd shifts. I mean, I'd work the night shift and come in Sunday morning. Martez knows this. She does it all the time. And comes in tired, not even sleeping. And I did that for a time and taught Sunday school, ran the bus route and all that. I know. I know it's difficult. But when you make it a priority, it's a priority. It's just what we do. It's just what we do. How about this? I'm tired. Well, I was tired, preacher. Sorry, I won't be here. I'm tired. You know, I helped someone move all day, and I'm tired. Well, join the tired club. Okay, everybody's tired. You know, the world revolves around people that work that are tired, and they just do it anyway. We should do that for church. I'm not trying to be mean. But here's how I look at it. If I would be able to go to work, then I'm able to go to church.
Amen.
Well, I can't go to church tonight. I want to be healthy for work in the morning. Okay, whatever. I got to sniff. I don't want to get anybody sick. Well, you sniff at work all day, and that don't bother you. Oh, you know, I see. Okay, I'm just trying to figure it out. Help me out here. I told you, you know. So you say, preacher, get off this. I will. I'm moving on right now. My point is this. Do you want to be helped? Do you? Do you want God to bless you? Do we want the Lord? This is His. This is what He's given us right here. And He says, don't forsake it. There's so many things here. There's a unique message. There's a unique messengers.
Praise the Lord.
And there's a unique membership.
Amen.
Something happens to you spiritually when you're here.
Amen.
That can be done in no other place. Be faithful to its services. And then lastly, praise the Lord. Maybe not. No, there's actually another one. Be faithful to serving.
Amen.
Don't be a lump. A lump on a bench or on a seat or on a whatever. Do something for God.
Amen.
You know, I rejoice when I see these families that get their kids involved in the bus ministry.
Amen.
I say hallelujah. Or when someone brings a young person, their child with them when they're old enough to go soul winning with them.
Amen.
I say, hallelujah, brother, you're doing it. Well, they might not know to say. You know, I took Jared when he was done soul winning. And I took people. And, you know, when they're young, sometimes they're kicking rocks and doing things. And you're trying to talk to people. And they're looking at stuff. And I've been with little kids. They're picking flowers. And hopefully not the person you're talking to. But you know what? But that's all part of them understanding. This is important. This is what we do. Get involved. Again, Matthew 20:28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many.
Amen.
Remember, God's given us something to do. We're not just here just to encourage one another. Hey, good job, man. Good to see you. I'm encouraging you here. Wonderful. Now go get somebody saved and get them baptized and added to the church. That's the Great Commission. We have a purpose. I'll tell you what. Families are mainly, all families have kind of something that's their purpose in life. For some, it's the sports. For some, it's we go, we're hunters or fishermen. And I'm not saying those things are wrong, but those things shouldn't be your life.
Right.
What you should make your purpose as a family is church and God and the things of God. Be faithful to serving. And then letter C right here, and we're done. Not only be fond of the church, be faithful to the local church. Also, follow the leadership of the local church. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. But, you know, God puts a leader. He leads. God leads him. He leads. And, you know, don't complain and all that. Notice number one, first to its teachings. Be faithful to the teachings of the church. You know, the Bible says it. Do it, right? And then number two, and we're done right here, be also faithful to its leader. And teach your children to do the same.
Amen.
Again, we're back and we're done right here. Back to the beginning. Your attitude and my attitude towards the local church is going to determine the outcome of your family. It is. It's going to make a difference. I understand every child has a free will. I get that. And you can do everything possible on your end, and the child still makes some decisions that are poor. I understand. But as a parent, as a leader of your family, as a representative of your family, you and I should do everything we can do to make our family what God wants it to be. And one of the biggest things is having the right attitude towards the local church. Amen.